कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधा श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधा श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द भज श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधा श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Gokula Nanda, Radha Gokula Nanda, Radhe Radhe. Jaya Sita सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद ಶುಭಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕ್ಕೆ ಜಯಂ ನಿತ್ಯಲೀಲಾಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟೋಮ ಶುಭಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕ್ಕೆ ಅನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಗೆ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈದಗದ ಆಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡ ಗಿರಿಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಗೆ ಬೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮ್ಗೆ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ್ ಧಾಮ್ಗೆ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ್ಗೆ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ್ಗೆ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ್ಗೆ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕೆ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕೆ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕೆ ಸಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಯೋರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ 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 ಗುರು ಎನ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಃ ಶುಭದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸಾದ ಭೂಗಲೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಕ್ತವೇದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶದಾರಿಣಿ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಾಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಗತಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸಾದ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀ ವರ್ಷಭಾನವೀ ದೇವಿ ದೈದಾಯ ಕೃಪಾಬ್ಧಯೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಪ್ರಾಯಿನೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ವಲ ಪ್ರೇಮಾಗ್ನಿರ್ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾನುಗಭಕ್ತಿದ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಕರುಣಾಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ದೀನಧಾರಿಣಿ ರೂಪಾನುಗವಿರುದ್ಧಾಭಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತಧ್ವಾಂದಹಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬರಸಾಂಬೋಧೇ ಪಾದಾಂಬುಜಾಯದೇ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದನಾಮಿನಿ ಗೌರಶಕ್ತಿಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ರೂಪಾನುಗವರಾಯದೇ ಗೌರಾವಿರ್ಭವ ಭೂಮಿಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನಿರ್ದೋಷ್ಟ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಪ್ರಿಯಾಃ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸಾರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯದೇ ನಮಃ ವಾಂಛಕಲ್ಪದರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯದೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚದತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಸಾತ್ವಿಕಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ജയതാം സുരതോ ഭംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമതീർഗതി മത്സർവസ്യവദാം ഭോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനോ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദോ ശ്രീമന്ദരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാശ്രീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീ വടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനീർഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയസ്തുനാഹ തപ്തകാഞ്ചനഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ ഹരേ So, like we were talking day before yesterday, that the process, why, I'll just briefly summarize what we discussed on Saturday, that first thing is, what is Veda? Veda means knowledge. Knowledge of what? That there is knowledge in this world based on direct perception or through inference, isn't it? That is called Pratyaksham and Anumanam. So, once you all the knowledge what you receive in this world is these two processes, direct perception or inference through anumanam. That's what we were discussing on Saturday. Now, all the knowledge in this world follows into these two categories, whether it is scientific knowledge or any other knowledge, whatever that is, it's all from these two fields, it comes from there. But practically we know that this knowledge what we have is inadequate to understand everything in this creation. Not only that, when things happen in this world, things which are beyond our imagination, or certain things happen, even with all our knowledge, we cannot understand it, why it has happened that way. Wars happen, natural disasters happen, isn't it? Drought, cyclone, earthquake, all these kind of things. There is no explanation to that from the knowledge what we have. Similarly, there is no understanding of various things in this creation, how it functions. Why the different planets are in the orbit, rotating? Why various seasons are changing? Why one person takes birth in one condition, another person takes in another condition? Once somebody is born in a rich family, somebody is born in a poor family. Or why somebody is born as a black person or somebody is born as a white person? Or why someone is born in India or someone is born in Africa or someone is born in America? So all these things does matter, isn't it? We have to know why it is happening. What is the reason behind it? And there is no answer to that question from the knowledge what we have. So Vedas are saying to us, that knowledge which cannot be understood or explained by direct perception or through inference is the knowledge what Vedas are talking about. Alaugikam it's called. Alaugikam. Laugikam means that is coming from the logam, from this world, what we achieve from this world. That is called laugikam. Alaugikam means out of this world, which is not from this world. It's come from somewhere else. That knowledge has to come from somewhere else. So therefore, Vedas are considered pratyakshena anumityeva yastu payo na vidyate. Evam vadanti vedena tasmal vedasya vedada. Sainacharya's commentaries on Rigvedam starts like this, that he says that knowledge what you cannot get here, that has to come from Vedas. This is the special feature or the special position of the Vedic literature. And we have also seen that the knowledge that comes from the Vedas is not through experiments, not through research. It is a revealed knowledge which comes from the sages. The sages, they also did not invent this knowledge. this knowledge is already there, but how to tap those resources, that is the main thing. And they have succeeded in doing that through their austerities and penances that they have performed, and this knowledge was revealed through them, through various great personalities. That's why when you study the Vedas, you will see it's all connected with some great sage who follows that tradition. Bharadwaja Maharshi, Angiras Maharshi, like that, different sages are responsible for that knowledge, how that has come to this world. So, pratyakshena animiteva, direct perception, pratyaksham, animanam, inference, knowledge. Neither of them can give you this knowledge, what come from the Vedas. Whereas direct perception, any knowledge what you have acquired in this world, if you try to check that with the Vedas, that won't work. Because Vedas doesn't talk about that, and it will not match. Yastupayo na vidyade, where there is no possibility of finding that knowledge, that is what is Vedas are talking about. Edam vadandi vedena tasmal vedasya vedada. Therefore, Vedas are, for that purpose, Vedas were created. Or Vedas were, Vedic knowledge has come into existence because of this reason. That's the number one thing. Secondly, that the Vedic knowledge covers a part which is beyond this life, isn't it? First of all, to tell us what we are, what should be the goal of life, and what happens after life. These are important matters to us, isn't it? For example, today you ask somebody who has no connection with the higher principles of life, what will be his answer? I have to work very hard, earn a lot of money, and live well, and then whatever happens to the death, it happens, and I'll leave this world. And that's all he can answer. He can't say anything more than that. His knowledge is limited there. He doesn't have any higher understanding than that. Or he may say that after the death, because I lived as a good person, I'll go to heavens, or I'll live a good life after that. He's hoping that. He's confirmed himself that he's going to have it later. But none of them is totally answering the question why we were born in these different conditions, each one of us. In different conditions we were born, under different circumstances, different parents, and different propensities in all of us. Somebody has a liking for something, somebody has a liking for something else. Why different tastes in everyone? Why one has different attitude in life? All this diversity, why did this come to existence? Although we all belong to the same two hands, two legs, and two eyes, and the human body still there. So these explanations are not there from the mundane world. You cannot get this information because a higher authority is controlling all these things from behind the scene. And that knowledge, what is behind that, is what Vedas are talking about. Vedas are talking about. That's what we are discussing about, the importance of the Vedas. Then we have seen also, along with that, I mentioned also that that these mantram or Veda mantras, they were revealed to them. They were revealed to them, and generally they are followed into these four categories of mantram, brahmanam, aranyakam, upanishad. Mantra for the brahmachari, because at the time when this was followed very rigidly, at that time varnashrama dharmam existed in the society. In that society, mantram, brahmanam, aranyakam, upanishad, that was the system. Mantram for brahmacharis, brahmana for the grahasthas, aranyakam for the vanaprasthas, and upanishads for the sannyasis. This was the pattern, how it was studied by the different ashramas in the Vedic tradition. So after that, we also mentioned that this Vedic knowledge, practically a lot of it is missing now in the world. They have actually listed how much is available at the moment. Out of the thousands of Vedic hymns, many are gone. What's available now is, majority of it is Rigvedam, quite a bit of it Yajurvedam, very little from Samavedam, and a little bit of Atharvana Vedam. There is a number of hymns what's available. They have listed all these things. It's available, that information. So there, if you also can get a copy of this Kathopanishad, it will help. Because Kathopanishad is where from Bhagavad Gita has come to a large extent. Kathopanishad is one which is available on the websites, I know. And it's not a big book, probably about 60-80 pages. Many verses in that Kathopanishad is in the Bhagavad Gita. So you can see the connection between Kathopanishad and Bhagavad Gita when you study this. To understand better Bhagavad Gita, you require Kathopanishad. Generally in the past, they will never teach Bhagavad Gita on its own. It's always spoken with Kathopanishad and other Upanishads also. But Kathopanishad is the main Upanishad where Bhagavad Gita has been taken many major verses as it is or with slight changes from that. So, in Kathopanishad it says that we have seen yatha panchavatishtande jnanani manasa saha buddhischa avijeshteda tamahu paramam gadim. In the Kathopanishad there is saying statement that the yatha panchavatishtante jnanani manasa saha buddhischa na vicheshtadidam ahu tamahu paramam gadim. It says there, when all the five senses becomes inert, and that means they don't have any more activities, when all the five senses are inert, and the mind also goes into the same state, that will help for self-realization. It will help the self-realization. And after saying that, generally you can see that when we are in this world, material world, basically what's material life means? Material life means interaction with our mind and senses with the world outside. If you see that, that's the world, isn't it? Nothing more than that. What we are interacting with the world, with our mind and senses, is material life. Nothing more than that, isn't it? Whatever form it may be, doesn't matter. What it is that interaction between us, senses and the mind, with the sense objects or the world. So, bringing them to a quiet state, to stop that activation or stop that interaction is yoga state. To stop that interaction is yoga state. Why is it required? Yogis do it in one way, through their asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam. That's what the follow process they follow. Jnanis follow in another route. They completely shut the door and turn the mind inward looking. Because they know the truth is not outside, the truth is inside. Yogis also know the truth is inside. Jnanis also know the truth is inside. Why? That is what you are searching for. The thing what you are searching for, the cause of everything in this creation is in us. That is why it says that the world outside is called Veshti and we are called Samashti. Veshti and Samashti, Samashti and Veshti, they are the same. Whatever that is there outside, it is inside us as well. For example, all the five material elements which is outside is inside us. The Krishna's presence is there in the world outside, it is present in us as well. So if you study yourself, your own body, your own mind, this simple unit of our own complex unit, this material body, if you study this, you will have the answer for everything. And once you know this very well, you know everything else outside. This is the principle. You know everything outside. You don't have to separately go on researching like the way scientists are doing. Scientists are trying to find out the origin of everything, isn't it? What are they doing? They are keeping themselves out of it and looking outside in the world because they are completely perplexed by the world outside. Such a huge creation, where this has all come from. So they are thinking in a completely different direction. The Vedic thinking is that what is in the Samashti, it is there in the Veshti as well. There is no need to look for outside anywhere, it's already there in us. If you research within us and find out what's happening inside this body, all the elements, what's present there, the mind, intelligence, ego, and also the senses, through this you can understand the truth, absolute truth, what you are searching for outside. And once you have known that, you will know everything outside. So that's why it says here, yada panchavatishtante jnanani manasa saha buddhischa na vijeshtadi tamahu paramam gadim. Paramam gadim, the ultimate goal is is possible to realize in this way, he says. Ultimate truth is possible to realize in this way. So Kathopanishad says like that. So after saying that, we also spoke about that what is the speciality with this Vedic knowledge. We talked about that, isn't it? What is the speciality? Speciality is this. All other knowledge, even if you have acquired all the knowledge, even if you have got the Nobel Prize in all the subjects, still there will be some element missing. You still don't know something more than that. There are things to be known, isn't it? There are many things which we do not know. The scientists also don't know. Nor the doctors know, nor the medical experts know anything about it. How this body is functioning, why certain things are happening. Like you can see the example, you buy some electronic goods from the shops. They'll give you a 12-month warranty or 16-month, 24-month warranty, whatever it is. But nobody can give you any guarantee on your body, can you? Nobody can give you, even the best doctor, even if you are most healthy, still he cannot give you a guarantee that you won't get sick. So that shows that the nature of the body is different. It's not like a machine, you can't treat like that. It's completely different than that. So Vedic knowledge, Vedantam is saying that after this knowledge is realized, that means the knowledge from the Upanishads is realized, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. When I say Upanishads, you must also remember Bhagavad Gita also belongs to that. Upanishads. Not only we call it, it's Upanishads knowledge in another form presented to us. Bhagavatam is also Upanishad in that sense, because Upanishad's knowledge presented to us in a different way. Knowledge is the same, but spoken in different circumstances, directed towards different people. That's all it is. But the knowledge hasn't changed. Ekadasya Skandam is Upanishad's knowledge. Bhagavad Gita is Upanishad's knowledge. And all the stutis, glorifications in the Bhagavatam is Upanishad's knowledge. There's no different. When we study individual glorifications, you will see there's no different than what Kathopanishad is saying, what Chandokyam is saying, or other Upanishads are saying. They're not different. So they all belong to the same family, but they have spoken in different ways so to get the message through to the people. So, important thing is that after this knowledge is realized, the certain things we... changes happens to us. What's that change? First thing, jijnyasa nivritti. That means after realizing this, you don't want to know anything anymore. So that means it is of complete fulfillment of the knowledge. No more desire to know anything further. Up to that point, till this realization happens, we are always looking for something. How does that happen? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? All these questions keeps coming in life, isn't it? Even with your best knowledge, information. Why did that happen? Just like when the war happens, people think, why this war happened? Why Krishna has allowed this to happen? All these kind of questions people ask. But a person who has realized, self-realized, he won't ask that question, why has this happened? Why has this war happened? He has no question about that, because he knows what's happening. So he understands. So that is called jijnyasa nivritti. Nivritti from jijnyasa. Jijnyasa means this inquisitiveness to find out what's more to know, something more to know. That's jijnyasa nivritti. Then there's another one thing called jihasa nivritti. Jihasa nivritti means that we all know that we are incomplete. Something more I need to make me complete. Something is missing. And that desire also goes away. Jihasa nivritti. Something more, and that I have to get it off from me, certain things. For example, I realize that people, devotees call it as anarthas, isn't it? Anartha they call it. Oh, I got so many anarthas, Prabhu. They will say like that. But they also don't know what that anartha is. They will say like that. That's, I got so many anartha. But when jihasa nivritti happens, you know that there is no more anartha. Because all this anartha is not in the soul. It's only in the body and the mind. This is the beauty of that. But we, because we identify with the body, we keep telling everyone, I got this anartha, I got that anartha and all that. When self-realization happens, we know we have no anartha. All we have is pure spiritual nature, which is existence full of bliss and full of knowledge. But that we don't have. What we have got is material body, mind, intelligence, and all the so-called anarthas like we talked about yesterday. Kalmasham, isn't it? Kama, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, malsayam, all these kind of different things. And that we call that we have got it. Actually, we don't have it. The mind and body has got it. So that's one that is called jihasa nivritti. So jihasa means you want to get rid of them from you, all these things. But if you realize the self, then you don't have to get rid of anything, because you know you have nothing to do with them. That's what happens. So that's why I was saying that practically we are attending on the peripherals. We are not attaching the main point, what we are. Instead, we keep on thinking that, oh, I have to develop this Vaishnava etiquette, that etiquette, this. You don't have to worry about any etiquettes. Etiquettes is not our problem. Etiquettes is all for the body and the mind, not for the soul. Once we realize, we go in that direction of realizing the self, you don't have to worry about Vaishnava etiquettes. You don't have to worry about any offenses, nothing. They will all go, leave you one after the other. You don't have to go getting rid of them one by one on your own. It was never done like that. Bhagavatam is saying, when proper bhakti is developed, where is the question of hating anyone? When you are realizing Krishna's presence in every living entity, where is the question of any kind of offenses coming to anybody at that point? Why? Because we are lacking the realization of the self, we are doing all these things. That's why it's happening. So, the moment we realize the self, all the problems goes away. All problems goes away. We don't have to run separate any other thing after that. So, Jihasa Nivrti is that what it's talked about. Then we have got what is known as Prepsa Nivrti. That, do I have to attain anything in this life anymore? Because most of us have some plans in this life, isn't it? At least I should have so much money by 40, so much by 50 and then retire. All these kind of plans in the head, isn't it? Everybody in England, you ask, they'll say, I want to retire at 50. And they'll be working at 70 also after that. And that is the most interesting thing you observe. Everybody says, oh, I want to leave this job. I'm working hard now so that I can leave it at 50. He says like that, isn't it? When you're working in the office, colleagues always tells you like that. I want to retire at 50. But this person by 50, he gets so conditioned that he cannot stop working after that even if he wants to. Then he has to work all the way right up to the daily leaves this body. That's how it turns out at the end. Just shows how the power of Maya is. We think one thing, Maya does something else with us. And she plays football with us all the time. But we don't know that the way she plays with us. So that is called this, what is known as Prepsanavrti. Prepsanavrti means that, that I have to achieve something by 40 or 50. These are all Prepsa. And then Chikrisha Nivrti is this, what I have to get certain things done in this world. This is an ignorance in us. I'm here, I got my family, I got to do so many things, I have so many commitments to this person, that person, to the society, community and all that. All kinds of ideas we develop because of the association with this world. We take that very seriously, isn't it? I got this duty, that duty. And therefore, that is called this Chikrishanavrti. Chikrishanavrti means that I have certain commitments in this world. Actually, nobody has any commitment in this world. You come here and you'll be gone from here. That's the only commitment what you have. All other commitments we have created ourselves. And because that is society thing. That is nothing to do with the soul. That's what, if you understand that much, is good enough. That as long as you understand, this is all society created, not Shastram has not created. Society is saying that you follow this. Why? Because so that there is some peace in the society. You know, if you send everyone to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, they'll go and bang the machine somewhere and keep themselves busy doing something. Either it is enter button or it is a heavy machinery, whatever it is. That is why all these leaders are very busy getting everyone employed. That's all the whole principle behind it. Is that so that they won't go into the streets and start fighting and creating other problem for them. To keep everyone occupied somehow. Therefore it is said, because there is no self-realization goal, there is no knowledge, that's all you can do with a bunch of people like that. What do you do then? Except to engage them somehow, so that their mind is occupied, their business is... That's all. It's not in the Shastram anywhere that you should go to work every morning at 7 o'clock and come home at 10 in the night and whole day and night absorbed in the work. There's nowhere Shastra mentions that. Shastram only says one thing to us. What is that? Realize the self and get out of this world, repeated life of birth and death. That has to stop. So for that, Shastras were written. Anyway, so Chikrisha Nivrti is this, that freeing oneself from the thing. So Jinyasa Nivrti, Jihasa Nivrti, Prayapsa and Chikrisha. These four things stops when self-realization happens. So after saying that, we talked about this one thing, that Vedic tradition is like this, that they have created various samskaras. All these samskaram what we talk about, which we are very busy with, Garbhadhanam, Pumsavanam, Simandam, Chaulam, Upanayanam, Karnavedam,
like this an endless list is there. Upanayanam, vivaham, all are part of that samskaram. Why is samskaram? Samskaram is only for one reason. That the, somehow or the other, to purify your physical existence, material existence or bodily existence. For example, as far as taking birth is a concern, if an animal delivers a baby or a human baby is born, where is the difference? Everything is flesh, blood, and everything what happens at that time is the same. There's not practically any difference. Only thing is, they are made of the five material elements. We are also made of the five material elements. But then there is this process of Garbhadhana ceremony and Pumsavanam and others for the human species, in the human society. Animals don't have that. If you do all that, they say that the baby which is born, he gets purified. He gets purified in his physical level, not in any other way. In his physical state and to some degree in the mental state. Some degree in the mental state. So that purification for the body as well as the mind is that what is intended by these samskaras, what we are talking about. All these samskaras are meant for that. So the thing what Vedic literature points out is that this samskaram will take you up to a certain level in purifying the mind and the body. But after that, the real knowledge starts later. Because up to this point, you are identifying with the body. But at that point, Vedas are saying you are not this body. After doing all this to the body, they are telling. But in order to understand that you are not this body, you need go through this samskaram. That's all the goal behind it, is to preparing yourself for that. Anyway, that's the principle behind it. So we have spoken about that also, that the idea is that it is done only for this purpose. First purify the body and then remove that ignorance within us that I am this body. So that's how it is done. First to purify the body, samskaram for the body, and then after that, my current understanding that I am this body, which is ignorance, I have to remove that from me, from inside. So that is what is called apavadam. Apavadam it is called, this identification with the body. And other one is called adhyarobam. Adhyarobam means that purifying the body. So adhyarobam and apavadam, two words used in that connection. Adhyarobam is purifying the body and apavadam is to get rid of that misunderstanding that I am this body. So those two things, important. So after saying that, we were mentioned also that so in order to I'm now talking about the traditional Vedic society, you have to remember that it is not that something we're discussing about today. But why I'm saying this is, when we come to the other side of it, you will see the differences where things have changed. In the traditional society, all these samskaras were performed and majority of the people will get stuck there in this part of this Karmagandam section. They'll get stuck there. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, that verse Joshayed Sarvakarmani Vidvan Yukta Samacharan says, Na Buddhibedam Janayed. That verse, that is, we should understand that verse properly, because na buddhibedam janayed, Krishna says, which is 326, chapter 3, verse 26. Krishna says here, na buddhibedam janayed. These verses are important if you are talking to somebody, because when you don't know a person's state of mind and you go and tell him that everything what you are doing is nonsense in life, you become like me and then disturb his mind, that is not a good thing. You should not disturb others' mind in the name of preaching. Na buddhibedam janayed ajnanam karma sanginam joshayed sarvakarmani vidvan yukta samacharan. Krishna is saying there, let not the wise disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to fruitive action. They should not be encouraged to refrain from work, but to engage in work in the spirit of devotion. That's not going to happen. If you tell people that, look, you've been working so far for money, now you work for devotion, that they're going to change that overnight. No, it won't happen. So in such circumstances, it's better not to disturb their mind. Because if you disturb people's mind, what will happen? They will get, the balance will go completely in life, and it can go in any direction. If you upset people's life in that way, Krishna is very kind to us in that way, that don't preach in such a way that it disturbs everybody's life. Joshayed sarvakarmani, na buddhivedam janaye. Buddhivedam means this, that you are disturbing his intelligence. He is stuck in the karmagandam, or he is stuck in his way of life, whatever he is doing. Na buddhivedam janaye. Krishna says, don't create any disturbances inside. Why? Why he says here, ajnanam karma sanginam. He is ignorant, we agree. He is ignorant because he is very attached to karmam. Very attached to karmam, work. That is his whole whole satisfaction he is getting from that karmam, work in life. Yeah. So if a person is very attached to his work, karma sanginam, if you disturb his mind, what will happen? The only thing he was holding on to, that's also gone. And then he will be completely in a crisis in life. And that is not good to disturb that. Ajnanam karma sanginam. If you can remove that ajnanam in a proper way, then it's okay. But that is not easy to do that because he is very fixed in his understanding of the life. Ajnanam karma sanginam. Na buddhi vedam janayed ajnanam karma sanginam. Krishna says here. And joshayed sarva karmani vidwan yukta samacharan. Joshayed sarva karmani vidwan yukta samacharan. What does that mean? Joshayed sarva karmani vidwan yukta samacharan. That you should not encourage him to leave everything and come away. But you have to know vidwan yukta samacharan. In a way that it is done, in such a way that he, in a proper, yukta. Yukta means in a proper way it should be done while dealing with such people. This is the principle behind it. So, keep that in mind, because when we discuss the other side of the Vedic literature, we will have to know these things as well. So, na buddhivedam janayet. Krishna says, don't disturb the mind of others. And then we have seen also after that, that when we are looking at the society, that such people who are in that state of mind, what Vedas have done is that who are addicted to work like that, for them, karmagandam was spoken for that purpose. So people don't go and do vigarmam then. At least they will live a life in such a way that they will stay within the framework of Vedas. For example, Vedic sacrifices, all karmagandam is only to keep people disciplined in life. People keep disciplined in life. Why it's necessary? Otherwise, because suppose if there is no restriction on us, we will go and do anything what we like. Isn't it? Human nature, you know what it's like. Even those who haven't got that discipline in life, they will go to any extent. I mean, you can see all this exploration work in the space and going to other planets, going here, going there. Simply going here like an excursion to the moon, excursion to Mars, excursion to other planets. Nothing happens at the end, isn't it? A lot of money spent, people have to work hard, pay the taxes. All the tax money goes like this to different projects like that. So this is called what we call as vigarmam. It's vigarmam actually. There's no practically any goal. Just doing it for the sake of fun. Let somebody keep busy themselves and they give all PhDs and whatever qualifications and they get themselves on the job. And government has to give the money for that. Naturally, it has to come from somewhere. So somebody has to work for it and pay the taxes also. Anyway, vigarmam is like that. So that is why. But so that such things don't happen in society, what the sages said was, keep them disciplined, let them engage in vaidika karmam. Vaidika karmams have come like this. You know, the various sacrifices. Various sacrifices means adiratram, agnishtomam, vajaveyam, Shodashi. There are hundreds of sacrifices, as you know, that they exist, which all last for years and years, months sometimes to do it. And somehow the other people get disciplined in that way. Now, depending on the varnam, one belongs to Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, accordingly different injunctions for them. Simplest one for the Shudras, little bit more sophisticated for the Vaishyas, more sophisticated for the Kshatriyas, and very complex one for the Brahmanas. That's how it was structured. Why it was done like that? The one who has got the maximum load, heavy load, heaviest load, so that he won't do any work in this world. That was the idea behind it. So the Brahmana won't get involved in work. You see, karmam is not the way to go back to realize the self. Karmam cannot help you in realizing the self. Knowledge only can help you. This is the first understanding that has to come. Karmam, nowhere in the history you will find, through karmam one has gone back home back to Godhead. Have you heard anywhere? Through karmam by work, I got to go spiritual world. No, it's not possible. Only through knowledge and realization it will happen. But karmam is a disease in us. All of us have got that disease in us. We have to perform karmam. So therefore, Vedic injunction is, perform karmam in such a way, because we have come with karma vasana in this world. You can't take it away from a person. When we were born, all the vasanas are inside, and that vasanas have to go. So Vedic sacrifices were meant for that purpose. And through that Vedic sacrifices, what has happened is that the people were brought under discipline. So therefore, the toughest one were given to the Brahmanas. Brahmanas had the Brahmanas' services, if you look properly from the Vedic system, he wakes up in the morning 2 or 3 o'clock, and right up to afternoon 3 or 4 is the first time he will have a glass of water. He has no time till then. To that extent, he is forbidden to work. Suppose you keep somebody busy till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he won't go to factory, will he? He will stay home. So there is hundreds of commitments for him. Upasanam, Agnihotram, Vaishudevam. One after the other. He has to keep on doing this every day. 24/7. This whole thing. Nothing else. That way he was kept busy. Kshatriyas, when it came to, they had to manage things. So they were given their responsibility of managing the administration. They were told that, look, you take the guidance from the Brahmanas, but you do it in such a way that you can carry out certain concessions are given to Kshatriyas. For example, they were given to marry many times, they were given to go to the forest to hunt the animals and things like that. Extra concessions. For Brahmana, no. For Kshatriya, yes. So you can see, killing animal is forbidden for a Brahmana, but it's allowed for a Kshatriya. You see where the problem comes. Now, when in a society, when there is no Varnashrama Dharmam, the society is struggling to find out what is the right decision to make. So Dharmam, the very nature of Dharmam is like that. Dharmam is a very difficult thing to define. What is Dharmam? Dharma means what's the right decision to make as far as Karmam is concerned. It's a very complicated thing, isn't it? That is why nobody understands Dharmam. Nobody understands. Krishna also says the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. He says there, karmam, that karmanohyabhi bodhavyam, bodhavyascha vikarmana, gahana karmanogadi. He says there in the third chapter. Isn't it? In Karma Yoga, he says, karmanohyabhi bodhavyam, bodhavyanja vikarmana, agarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmanogadi. There is a verse there. Krishna is saying this, gahana karmanogadi. Difficult to understand the way how karmam functions in this world is difficult, he says. So, ghana karmanogari. So, that is our situation. And because of that, the Vedas are telling us that if you are in a Brahmana consciousness, you should live like this, in this particular way. No more going to work for anyone, engage in other services, or any kind of effort to make money is not allowed for him. He is supposed to live. Then you may immediately ask the question, how can he live in this world? That will be the next question. That is not an important question as far as the Shastram is concerned. Sudama lived in this world. You know how he lived, isn't it? That is enough. That is the answer for that. That you live like that. If you are prepared for that, you can live like that. Otherwise, don't ask that question. If that question is coming, how is he going to make the living? That means he is fit for a Shudra's job. Nothing else. That's what it means. That so it is like this, that Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmana, they are all been given different responsibilities, and in such a way they are kept under control. They won't do and go and engage in Vikarma. That's the goal. That's the goal. So if you follow that system, this Varnam and Ashramam, the advantage is, in course of time, you will get certain purification inside, because you are following certain law.
which the Vedas have given to us. If you follow that, you will get certain purification inside. If you get purified, that is known as Chitta Shuddhi. Shuddhi means purification. Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi means your consciousness will get purified. A Shudra will exhaust all his vasanas through his Shudra activities. Vaishya will get all his vasanas exhausted through his Vaishya activities. Kshatriya in the same way will get exhausted all his vasanas through Kshatriya activities. And a Brahmana naturally, because he doesn't have such severe materialistic tendencies, vasanas in him, he can progress in his spiritual life much better, faster pace through that. That is why this Varnashrama system was created, for this reason. Dharmam Varnashramanam, Shastram says. Varnashramam is a dharmam. Shrutipada vihidam. It has come from Shruti. Shruti means what? Shruti means Vedas. Isn't it? That you know. Shruti means Vedas. Prabhupada gave this lecture in Convoy Hall in 1969, and that is the introduction to Ishopanishad. If you read that, you will see Prabhupada talking about all these things there. To some extent, he explains that in an hour or hour and a half lecture, which he gave in 69 in Convoy Hall. So he mentioned about this Varnashrama Dharma, and he also mentioned there that Shrutipada Vihidam, it is there in the Shruti. In Shruti, Varnashrama Dharma is mentioned. Yal paratvena bhaktya andar viragam. What will happen is, if this Varnashrama Dharma is followed, the advantage is that inside some purification happens. How? The desire to work, to earn, to enjoy goes away from inside. This is the advantage of this Varnashrama Dharma. Because they put the Brahmanas on the topmost position. Why? So that let them be the guiding force for the rest of the society. That's the reason why they were kept in that position. They're not being given any concession. They are meant to live in poverty. They are meant to live in austerity. They are meant to live in cultivating knowledge. And they are meant to live in God consciousness 24 hours. That's the heavy demand on them. They were not allowed to watch television. They were not allowed to go and work in the factory. This is all modern situation. Unfortunately, it's all broken down, isn't it? So that's not important. We are trying to understand the principle behind it. Shudhipada vihidam tvalparatvena bhaktya kuruvando andar viragaihi. If you follow that properly, bhakti will come develop inside. We want to have bhakti inside. That's what our goal, isn't it? We want to develop bhakti to Krishna. So how will bhakti develop? He says, Shrutipada vihidam tvalparatvena bhaktya kuruvando andar viragaihi. That automatically vairagyam will come inside. All these activities in this world is all useless. We'll come to that conclusion at the end. And vairagyam will come. And then what will happen? The knowledge will start going in. Only when there is vairagyam, the knowledge gets in. Otherwise, it's very difficult. When we are very attached to sense enjoyment and family life or the society and the world, it's difficult to take spiritual knowledge inside. It's very, very difficult. It will simply come and go. It won't stay inside. It won't stay inside. That's a problem. So, anyway, coming back to this point, I'm just saying this as an introduction to Ishopanishad, because when you don't understand the background in which Upanishads were spoken, you won't value it. The value of Upanishad's knowledge. Yeah. So what has happened now is that the structure was created only for this purpose, so that Vairagyam comes and through Varnashrama Dharmam and one gets to that state. Now, Brahmanas were not given any kind of freedom to deviate from that. In the past, they never did that. They lived in the villages and they in extreme poverty, they lived there. And one of the worst things in this Brahminical occupation is this priesthood. You know, priesthood. Hindu priest, they call it nowadays. A lot of people have taken that job as well. The priesthood is considered to be the lowest thing. And many very educated and cultured Brahmana, if they were invited to perform any priestly activities, they won't go. They simply won't go. If you invite them to recite the Vedas, they will go. But you invite them to perform any priestly activities, they will say no. There is a class of people for that who does that in the society. But generally, they are not looked upon very well. They are looked upon very well. Because priestly activity for what? To get the dakshina, isn't it? And that's not good for the Brahminical consciousness. But in our society, it's considered to be the highest thing. One who can do a lot of priestly work. Everybody likes to say, I'm a Hindu priest. It's quite common now. But what can you do when there is no deeper understanding of things? This is how it all turns out at the end. Where there is money, I'll go for that. So he's a Brahmin, but where there is money, I'll go for that. This is the consciousness, how it develops. Anyway, so having said that, the activities of a Brahmana is so tightly controlled. Why? Because he has been given this very heavy responsibility of, while in this body, he's not supposed to come back again and take another birth in this world. For him, if he properly executes that, Shastric injunction is like that, if he properly executes that, he goes back home, back to Godhead. There is no question about that. Provided he sticks. Therefore, in the past, who followed these regulations strictly, they lived in the village, they were not tempted by any allurements from the city or allurements from another place, and they will live in the village in that simplest life, and strictly adhering to the regulations, they followed that. Many of them were like that. Many, many people lived like that in the past. But over the period of time, it all changed. Now they will go wherever the highest money is there. If it is in Delhi, they'll move to Delhi. If it's not in Delhi, they'll go to Boston or LA or wherever it is there. They are there. But to make that money. And many of the acharyas from the mutts, they have criticized the Brahmingal community. We don't want to see you anymore here, it says to them, because of your nature that you have cultivated like this. But they also know very well, when they go looking for these positions elsewhere, that they are doing the wrong thing. Inside, it is hurting them, that what they are doing is the wrong thing. But then it is, vasanas are there, and the world is gone in that direction. So anyway, that's not important. So why I was saying that was that dharmam, to execute dharma means to live in this way, in that particular way, what was defined by the Vedic literature. But this dharmam also won't take you back home, back to Godhead. Because generally for brahmanas, yes, for them, if they follow the dharmam seriously, the internal realizations will be very good. The internal realizations will be very good, provided they are sticking to their dharmam intensely. So, in order to create, prepare us for that dharmam, to receive this knowledge of the Upanishads, we have to get ourselves pure. And that purification is done through following dharmam. So, dharmam is just like this I mentioned before. It's like the car which brings you and leaves you somewhere. From there, you have to walk to this place. Similarly, dharmam has brought you up to that point where the car has dropped you. And from there, now it's up to you to purify further and take the knowledge on board. So, it says like this, and we have mentioned that. So, karmakandam is meant for that. So, what else is there? In this karmakandam, there are so many injunctions given, isn't it? So many injunctions given. For example, Shraddha ceremony. Shraddha ceremony, we will ask the question, what will happen if I perform Shraddham? What will happen if I don't perform Shraddha ceremony? This question is in the modern world very much so, because everyone is thrown away from their homes. They are living somewhere and they are in different difficult conditions and all that. But the fact is that Vedas are saying to us, if you are following Karmakandam, don't ask any questions. Don't ask any questions. Because asking questions, nobody can give you an answer. There is little answers to all these questions. When you are following Shraddham, how do you know that the Pitridevadas have received all what I have offered? How do you know that where do they live? And who are these Pitridevadas? They will ask all these kind of questions they want to know. And then they want to make a decision whether to perform Shraddham or not. So this is the problem, that people don't have faith in the Vedic literature's authority. But it was not like that in the past. In the past, people accepted that Shraddha ceremony has to be performed, whether you like it or not, it has to be done, and they did that in that mode. But now, because we have got one side science questioning us from one side, the other side, all these kind of things are going on. So it's all conflict and contradictions inside. Anyway, so Karmakandam, we spoke about that like that. So, they are saying there that don't ask any questions if it is anything related to Vedic rituals. All these rituals are concerned. Don't ask any questions. So,
So the idea is that by living through this process of dharma, one feels peaceful in this world. You can live in a peaceful way because you don't develop. You can see, for example, in the past, the system was that whatever the father did, the children also went through the same, isn't it? If the father was a goldsmith, the sons naturally will take to the same profession. Or the father was a carpenter, the son will also take to the same profession. In all fields, it was followed in a family tradition. The work was followed in a family. That was a general pattern everywhere. But later on it has changed. And in that case, you didn't have a crisis when you had to finish, when you finished your education, what I should do. You didn't have to look for various options, which creates a lot of stress in the people's mind, isn't it? That how should I choose my work? What should I do? And especially for the men. For the women, generally, it was they got married and lived their life at home. In a peaceful way, they survived. So all that was a part of the Varnashrama Dharma. So today, what has happened is that if you follow that system, you live a proper life in this world without causing any trouble to others. And without suffering yourself to a large extent, you can live peacefully and without developing too much of greed and too much of other vices, live peacefully through the way, and eventually there's a possibility that you can go back to the heavenly planets to live there because of performing such strict adherence to the Vedic tradition. You go to the heavenly planets. You get an opportunity to go and enjoy, because in this process of Varnashrama Dharma, there's a possibility that you have performed pious activities because you're not engaging in so many sinful activities. You see, when there is no discipline in life, life becomes full of sinful activities. Either you get caught up in some sin, even if you don't want to. For example, if a multinational corporations, they are manufacturing weapons to kill so many people in this world, isn't it? Very powerful manufacturing weapons. Now, you may not want to get involved in that, but you are a part of that. You are working for them. Like you, as an engineer or a technician or a scientist, whatever way, if you are involved in their activities, you have to bear that karma. There's no question about that. Isn't it? You may say, look, I'm doing it only for my livelihood. Well, that's fine. But all your Krishna has given you whatever intelligence, for whatever purpose is given, it's all used for the wrong purpose at the end. So it is not only the owners going to bear the results, but also the people who are involved in their activity. And unfortunately, in the modern world, you don't have much options in these things. It's all so complicated that people have to work in such situations and they have to live with all the consequences as well. So that is why Krishna says here that in that situation, that in the normal practices in the past, that people were given an opportunity to approach Krishna to pray for their welfare in this world, ayuraragya saukhyam, for good health and good happiness in this world, that is also a goal of the life in those days. So you will also see in Karmagandam very interesting things. Karmagandam is an interesting topic if you start looking at it. In Karmagandam, kind of things there, and it's coming from the Vedas, from the Shruti it is coming. They are saying that if you want all these things, pray to Krishna, and for that there is a different prayers attributed to that. One of the famous one is Shri Rudram. Shri Rudram is praying to Lord Shiva, and there's a part of that is called Chamagam. Chamagam. All the Vedic scholars know these things. They'll know, and they chant them in their regular worship of their devotees of Lord Shiva. They'll chant this Chamagam. And that Chamagam, that Rudragidam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is a modified version of that Chamagam from the Vedas. You know the Rudragidam? If you look into the fourth canto, when Prachetas went to perform penances, remember? Prachetas went to perform penances inside the water. 10,000 years they were underneath the water. Isn't it? At that time, Lord Shiva appeared and gave instructions to them to how to worship Krishna. That Shiva says to them, you are very dear to me because I know that you have come to worship Krishna here. And he says to them, that I will teach you how you should worship Krishna. And he gave a few verses in the Bhagavatam, what is known as Rudragidam. It's famous. That Rudragidam is famous. So we read through that Rudragidam.
I think I have it. I can tell you which verses they are.
It's in here, Kurvayutta.
The location where it happened, yeah. In the fourth canto, if you look, you will see there that the Rudragidam verses. And it is good to read through those verses. That is Lord Shiva's prayers to Krishna. He is teaching this to the Prachetas, and they were saying there that the Rudragidam, yes, prayers to the Prachetas, which is 1177. It is the verse, chapter 30, in the fourth canto, chapter 30. That's the prayers from Lord Shiva teaching the prayers to Prachetas. Okay. So, Prachetas were taught those prayers, and Rudragidam, it is called in the Bhagavadam. Some scholars call also that's Yogadesham. It's another name given like that among the scholars. So, but Chamakam is what is there in the Vedas. In the Vedas. And there, you are praying to Krishna. Sorry, you are praying to Shiva to give certain benedictions in this world. All for me. For me. For me. 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 That's what is repeated there all the time. So, somewhere it says, I think. We'll look at that later. So there is prayers from running into pages of this Chamakam. Chamakam, it's called Rudragidam, where it's coming from. In that Chamakam, it says there, I'll read it out one or two words. Agno Vishnu Sajoshase Ma Vardhandu Vagira. Prayadishchame, prasidishchame, didishchame, kradushchame, jodishchame, suaschame, pranaschame, panaschame, vyanaschame, suschame, chittamchame, adhidanchame, vakchame, manaschame, chakshuschame, shotramchame, dakshaschame, belamchame, ojaschame, sahaschame, ayushchame, jarachame, almachame, tanushchame, sharmachame, varmachame, anganichame, sthanichame, parumshichame, sharirachame. Like this it goes on. What it says is, asking Krishna to help in all these things, that let me be happy in this world somehow with your support. Because Vedas are very particular about that. They know that by your own effort you can't become happy in this world. Sometimes you can see that. You do everything in your life, but you're not happy in life. What can you do? There's no peace inside. Always disturbed due to something or the other. The small things is enough, isn't it? A family member gets very ill, you are upset, then the life becomes completely different. Or something else can happen, a financial disaster in life, everything goes, and then you are in trouble. So many things can happen. Bad name, or you get caught up in some big crime. You may not have intentionally done it, but somehow or the other you got involved in that. Various things can happen in life, and your peace can go in life in one lot. Therefore, they knew very well that without Krishna's sanction, all these things, so therefore all these prayers in the Vedas, which were created also. So even if one does all that, you can see that the prayers are addressing that, give me this, give me this, give me, words used are medha, good intelligence, good fame, good understanding, prajna, and good intelligence, buddhi, shri, balam, ayushyam, tejasya, arogyam, everything like that. Different things what we need in life. That's all in the prayers. Everything what we need for a happy life in this world. Everything else. So Chamakam is recited by them, and that is also known as Rudragidam in the Vedas. So after that, what we see is that why do we say this is because you know very well that in this world, with your best efforts,
whatever position you reach in this world, there's always anxiety and fear, isn't it? There's always anxiety and fear. Imagine, take for example, big politicians, yeah? They have worked very hard to get the elections through. They win the election. And even after becoming prime minister, there is no guarantee that he is going to be there. Somebody else will pull you down one day from somewhere. So there's always, you have to watch your back all the time, who is playing what game behind it. There's no guarantee that you can, at least reaching that state, you can be peaceful. There's no peace there. Whether it is America or Britain or India, it doesn't matter. Everywhere it's the same story. So wherever you make any progress in the material life, ultimately there is always anxiety associated with that. Ultimately, there is anxiety associated with that. So behind that, that is one level as a position is concerned. On another level, suppose you had reasonable health now. Tomorrow what will happen, you don't know. It's always there's a fear inside. Will diabetes coming or cancer coming or something else is coming? That fear inside is always there, isn't it? So you keep going, visiting this laboratory, this test, that test, everything, because there is fear inside. So this fear never leaves. And as long as that fear is there, there is no peace inside. There is no peace inside. That's why it's there. So Krishna is saying here, atendiyam, that ultimate happiness so is not possible. And that question, how can it happen? So,
keep it, I will come to that later.
So, so in order to tell us that you can never be happy in this world, that's what Vedas are teaching us, that you can never be happy in this world with all these things what's going on. It's not possible. This is the message that Vedas wants to get through to us. That no matter what you do in this world, with your effort, you can't be happy. That's not possible. You will be, something will bother you at some way or the other, and you will never experience that happiness or peace in this world through your own effort. That is why the purpose of the Vedas itself, number one. Number two, if you live a life in this world properly according to Varnashram Dharmam, and you executed everything all your life properly, what will happen? You have the possibility of going to heavenly planets, isn't it? But even if you go to heavenly planets, what will happen? It's not safe there either. It's not at all safe there, even in the heavenly planets. Okay, the standard of sense enjoyment is high, but if you study Puranas, you will notice people like Indra and many others, he has no peace of mind. Indra has no peace of mind. Always he is keeping an eye on others. Is anybody else ready to take my position? You know that. In the Puranas, that stories are there, isn't it? You remember, Indra was very upset at Prithu Maharaj when he started his sacrifices. He must be looking for this job, what I got. So immediately he got upset with him. And he came, tried to stop the sacrifices and all that. What does it indicate? These stories are told to us only for one reason. Not to go and find out is it true or not. That's not the purpose behind it. The purpose is to tell us even there, there is no happiness. Even in that heavenly planets also, there is no happiness. There is no happiness anywhere. Either in this world, in this earthly world, or even if you go to the heavenly planets, there is no happiness there. Because many people, especially among the Brahmanas also, those who have performed so many sacrifices, you will see Yudhishthira Maharaj performed many sacrifices, Prithu Maharaj performed many sacrifices, all of them, Rajasvayam and so many. But at least what is guaranteed is you can go to the heavenly planets and live there, enjoy there. But Indra won't keep you there for a long time. As long as your bank account is over, he will send you back here. And Krishna mentions this, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Chine Punya Martyalogam Vishandi. There is no question of staying there forever. And because the currency, what you take from here, exchange rate is so poor when you go there, it's so expensive there that you will not last very long there. Probably you can stay for a few months or so, and then they will send you back here. But some people get attracted to that happiness in the heavenly planets. Because when they read some of these Puranas, how the sages enjoyed with Urvashi, Rambha, Tilotama and all other famous personalities, they think it's not a bad place. Spiritual world we can see later. Let's go and enjoy there first. This idea has also come to their head. It's natural. It is there in the history. It's not an unknown thing.
many, many people, when they saw the beauty of the women from the heavenly planets and attraction from them, they said, there's nothing here what we have in this world. They all decided to go there and they wanted to go, and some of them performed even penances for that purpose. Agnidra. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you know that story, don't you? Priyavrata's son. He said, Priyavrata performed penances, let me do the same thing. But as soon as he saw Purvachiti, Apsara's woman came there, he says, forget about spiritual world, going back home, I want to live with Purvachiti for the rest of my life. And he performed penances in such a way, eventually he went back to Purvachiti's world and they lived there together. Then he never went back to the spiritual world at that point. Why is it shown? Not to tell us that all these places you can go to. That's not the idea. The only thing to tell us is this, that even there is no happiness. Peace is not there. There's no shanti in any of these places. Another interesting example I'll tell you what happened was, if you look into the time when Prophet Muhammad was preaching in the Middle East, what happened was there was a lot of old men almost close to death. They were close to death. They were dying. Practically, they realized there is nothing to enjoy in this world anymore because they were so old. There was nothing much to look forward to in this world. So, Prophet told them that if you perform jihad and you can go to the heavenly planets where there is alcohol flowing like rivers and there is as many women as you want there, can go. Immediately these old men who were lying in the sick bed, they got up, took their swords and ready to fight the jihad straight away. This is human nature. You can't do anything about it. Because here there is nothing much to look forward to. It's finished here. The death is coming. You're going to leave. At least there let me enjoy. So this was the mood behind it. That's why they got up, took the sword, ready to fight the jihad. These old men who were ready to die, they were ready to fight at that time. So this is how it all happened. And that's now you can see how it has developed into the modern world. So people get attracted to all these things. And because it is like that, this is a human psyche, it's like that. Because when you find that in this world there's nothing to enjoy, all you're waiting to leave the body here, you're waiting for that, there's nothing, no happiness in the world, and all along the life you're looking for sense enjoyment, vasanas are not gone away. And in that state, if anyone comes and offers you something, any offer, you will take it straight away, wouldn't you? Anybody will do that, wouldn't they? So he won't think about, because he thinks that at least if I can't do it here, even if I die, let me perform the jihad or whatever, and then let me go there and enjoy there. And they were given this offer. So they took it. They were told that if you go to the heavenly planets, there is plenty to enjoy. And even that concept is still there, isn't it? Many people's mind, that if we go there, we can enjoy even whatever we may do here. So this is how things get complicated in people's mind. So so this concept is already there in the Vedas also. It's not different in that sense. But it's not done in such a way. Why? Because Vedas are given something more than that. Where these other scriptures have taken you to, something more than that. So this principle of... We have to understand all these things prior we get into studying Upanishads, because Upanishads are from a different category altogether. So he says here, so this is called, if you see, to study the Upanishads, what they say first thing is, one has to have a certain maturity and purity inside. What's that purity? First purity is Nityam Anityam Vastu Vivegam, it says. Vastu Vivegam means that he has to know that this world is a temporary place. There is nothing you have to really achieve here. Even if you achieve something here, you are going to lose it at the end. Either you lose it or they lose you. You will have to leave it. So that clear, firm idea inside that everything is temporary here. Very, very temporary. And for such a temporary life, and that too, to achieve that, you have to go through so much austerities in this world. Isn't it? Work so hard. All your best part of the life is spent just for achieving a very tiny happiness in the life. Very little what you get out of it. At the end, when you look back and think, why did I do all these things? What did I gain from this? That thought naturally makes you think, was it life worth living like this? This question will come. So that is why Upanishads are saying Nityam Anityam Vastu Vivegam. First thing is that clear in the head that this is temporary
and there is something permanent. That understanding and that vivegam, that discrimination. I'm looking for the permanent, I'm not looking for the temporary. That's the first thing. Similarly, iha amutra bhala bhoga viragam. Bhoga viragam means sense enjoyment. Here I want to enjoy my senses, and after this amutra, when I leave this and goes to another place, I want to enjoy my senses there as well. So when I have understood that this sense enjoyment business itself is going to end up only entangling me and complicating my life, I am not able to reach the goal where I want to be at the end. I cannot get out of the cycle of birth and death by sense enjoyment. You cannot do that. That we know. If you have realized it here, then you are ready for Upanishads. Otherwise not. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivegam, first thing. That this is temporary, this is not a place where you are trying to build a big project here, that you can live here forever, that's not going to happen. Iha amutra bhala bhoga viragam. Then in order to do that I need to have that renunciation, detachment in myself, that there is nothing in this world worthwhile endeavoring for. All kinds of sense gratification is going to only entangle me further. I'm going to get trapped in that, and in that process I'll be lost in the sense gratification. So iha mutra bhala bhoga viragam. Then the third thing is shamam damam shal sambatti. Shamam damam titiksha uparati shraddha samadhanam. These things, which what does it mean? It means that control of the mind, control of the senses, able to tolerate any misery of this world, able to tolerate that. Whatever happens in life, just leave it to Krishna. Let Krishna decide. Whatever he gives you, accept it without any further complaint about it. Shamam damam titiksha. Uparadi. Uparadi means able to withdraw from this world, the mind, and able to stay focused on the soul. Shraddha. Shraddha means complete. Sa titiksha. So, Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Shastatya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha. Absolute faith in the words of Shastram and the words of the spiritual master. Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana. That's the only truth. Acceptance of that. That is Shraddha. So, Shamam, Damam, Titiksha, Uparadi, Shraddha. And then Samadhanam. Samadhanam means you have managed to find the importance of self-realization and able to hold on to that principle throughout life without any further change from that. Not today I will try for self-realization, tomorrow I will go for something else. Not like that. Self-realization becomes the whole point in life. So that's why this, what is called as Shamadamade Shal Sambhati. Then the last one is Mumukshatvam, which is the most important of all. This Mumukshatvam is what Krishna is talking throughout Bhagavad Gita. What is that Mumukshatvam? Mumukshatvam means a person's firm determination that he wants to realize the self in this life, very life. That is called Mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means he does not want to come back here, accept another body here, male body, female body, dog's body, cat's body, no matter which body it is, I don't want another material body anymore. That is called Mumukshatvam. If you remember, Krishna spoke about that in the Bhagavad Gita, repeatedly he is saying this. You have to make that decision first. And what is he saying? That's what he is talking about, this Mumukshatvam. That if you have not made the decision, then no matter what process you follow, you're not going to get there. That decision is more important than chanting your 200 rounds a day or studying whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. But more important than all that decision that I want to escape from here. Such an importance given to that, to this word called Mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam is the whole principle behind it. Process doesn't matter. What process? It is not the process that decides. Whether you follow the Jnana Margam, whether you follow the Bhakti Margam, Yoga Margam, doesn't matter. You will all get there at the end. But if you have not decided that this is the goal, it's not going to happen. Whether you follow Bhakti or Jnanam or Karmam or Yoga, it doesn't matter. So that is why you should not think that, oh, I have got the best process. Yes, you may have got the best process, but you have not decided whether you want to go back or not. Then where is the question of the process going to help? So these things will only happen if this decision will only, first thing is making this decision once for all and very focused on that throughout life. Nothing else matters in life till I get out of the cycle of birth and death. That firm conclusion inside has to come first. And once that happens, everything will fall in place. Everything will fall in place. Because that decision is not made yet, therefore, all the time, mind is wandering this way, that way, this way, that way. It's telling sometime, oh, no, no, let me for the moment live in this family life and be comfortable with this. This is all for the old age, we say like that, isn't it? It's all for the old age. When you get old, 60, 70, at that time we will talk about it. Then when I'm 88, I'll buy a copy of the latest edition of the Srimad Bhagavatam and then get confused over the whole thing. So this is all bogus. It's completely bogus. Or he will say, that's the time I will start with my wife going on a pilgrimage to all the holy places. When you go to all the holy places, it's not comfortable there because all through life you lived in your AC houses and all that. And you go there and you get into problems there also. And you come, and then you come back and say, all these gurus, Swami, they're all bogus anyway. and make a remark and leave everything there. Can't make it. I can't make it in this. Sometimes such people you have to be very careful about. Because it's these people, they are like a bacteria. People who have come to these conclusions. They are everywhere. In all situations you will find them. Like a virus it is. They'll hear all Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything, and they'll say, oh, it's not possible, it's not practical, all these things. And they'll say, I don't know, it may be all right for Krishna. He is Krishna, he can do all that. It's for Ramchandra, I can do that. He is God, I'm not God. They'll become so humble at that time and say these statements. Krishna and Ramchandra spoke all these things for us, not for them. They don't need all these things. Isn't it? Isn't it very difficult to understand? Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because he was getting disgusted that he wanted to say to somebody to something? No, he didn't do that. He spoke for our benefit. Those who wants to come back to the spiritual world, come out of the cycle of birth and death, for our benefit, Krishna gave the Bhagavad Gita. Vasishtha gave Yoga Vasishtham for this reason. That he is talking to Ramachandra, as though Ramachandra is lacking knowledge. Ramachandra is not lacking any knowledge. But through Ramachandra, Yoga Vasishtham was spoken for our benefit. It's for human society. If somewhere, somebody is looking for self-realization, let him take advantage of it. That was the goal behind it. If you understand that, then you may not make such statements. Otherwise, sometimes, many times you see this kind of people who come for, they'll come sit for 5 minutes, they'll listen, and then they'll go out and say, oh, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's not possible to do all these kind of things, you know. That you have to get up so early in the morning. What is the necessity? They will ask this question. Why do you have to get up so early in the morning? Can we not sleep well and get up? Doctors are saying it's much more healthier if you sleep in the early hours in the morning. Your health will get much better. Like this, all kinds of stupid statements will come from them. Such people, dangerous people. You have to avoid them all the time. Because you don't know when that virus will get in and contaminate your thoughts also in the same way. So that is why I am saying that the Vedas are in like that. That the knowledge is such a thing that when you are accepting that, you have to be conscious of these things. primarily, the purpose of this Vedic literature is to stop this coming and going. Isn't it? We are coming here, we got this body, leave this body, go back, and then come back again with another body here. I don't know what body it will be, we don't know about that. This is the kind of knowledge what Vedas are talking about. Knowledge related to leaving the body, coming back here, accepting another body and things like that. A person who has developed this understanding is very profound in his thinking. It's very profound, isn't it? So that is when a person becomes a little bit more deeper in his thoughts. Becomes a little bit more deeper. And that is what is called a samskaram. The development of samskaram. Samskaram is like that. That means that person has got some jijnyasa to inquire about life after death. Not many people have curiosity to find out what's happening after death. So proper Brahma jijnyasa happens at that time. Proper Brahma jijnyasa happens at that time. Why? He has understood through his discriminative power, vivekam, he has realized that everything is temporary in this world. I'm not going to waste all my energy and life simply to become happy here, number one. Then, therefore, he thinks that there is nothing much to be gained in this world. And he also realizes that in this world alone is not my whole life, is not finished with this body. This is purity inside. When a person, when he gets purified, this is the kind of thoughts that develops inside. That's the kind of thought that happens. What's that? First thing he realizes that the world is temporary. It's not a place that I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to be temporary here. Whatever I have to do here, I'll do it. But at the same time, this is not my goal at the end. Number one. First decision. Second decision he is making here, that he has also realized that the simply accumulating wealth here alone cannot be the goal, because I'm not going to be here forever. And I'm not going to be. Thirdly, he also realizes that who am I actually? That question keeps coming very strongly inside. Who am I? Am I this body? When you look at the body, you realize that I'm not this body. Because body, is only present there due to the presence of consciousness inside. When that consciousness is inside all the time, you realize it, that body is nothing but an extension of that consciousness. Extension of the consciousness. You also realize that mind is an extension of the consciousness. It is from consciousness that everything has sprung up. Isn't it? Like when we wake up in the morning, that's why we are saying this Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti states, if you study very well, you will know this. It is possible to prove to people that look, when you wake up in the morning from deep sleep, the first thing the ego comes out, I am existing, I am starts at that point. And then the planning starts, the mind comes out, false ego comes out, and then your day goes on like this. But as soon as you go into sleep at night time, in the night time while sleeping, you go into the dream state, the body is not existing anymore. The body is gone at that time, isn't it? Only you are in the world of the mind at that time. That's all called dream state. And when you leave the dream state, go to Sushupti state, neither the body is there nor the mind is there, but you are happy. Isn't it? You are happy. So, a proof to us, every night Krishna is proving to us that it is not by accumulating material objects in this world that you are becoming happy. It is not by associating with everything else in this world you are becoming happy. Rather, when you leave the body, when you leave the mind, in the Sushupti state is you are most happy. Perfect happiness is there in the Sushupti state. Why? Because in the Sushupti state, when you wake up, you don't complain about anything, do you? No, in all other happiness, we complain. For example, when we had a nice feast, you enjoyed the feast. But after that, if you get sick a little bit, you will say, I shouldn't have eaten that particular preparation. That's caused me the problem. So everywhere there is danger. In every other happiness in this world, there is danger. There is an element of fear behind every sense enjoyment, isn't it? Whether it is eating, sleeping, sex life, anything, no matter what it is, there is an element of fear behind it, isn't it? So you can see that practically in life, anything what you do, if you overindulgence or excessive enjoyment, it will cause distress later. In Sushupti, has anyone complained about sleep, in deep sleep? You wake up in the morning, and if you are in deep sleep and you are enjoying it, you wish that. What's that? So, Sushupti state is a proof to us that happiness is possible, shanti and peace is possible without any of these things. Neither with the body, nor the mind, nor any of the material objects of this world, happiness and shanti is possible. And every night Krishna is showing this to us. And after a whole day of very material activities, when you are completely disturbed, you get the shelter not in anything else, not in the television, not in anywhere else, whereas you get refreshed from the deep sleep. Isn't it? When you go there, the individual soul is completely embraced by the super soul. And through that embrace, relieves us from all anxieties of life and sends us back fresh in the morning, ready to face the world. That is the proof of that. So, therefore, Jagrat Swapnam Avastatrayam it's called. In Shastram it's called Avastatrayam. Three Avastha. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. These three avasthas, if you study well, you can see the importance of sushupti, the deep sleep state. That is where everything is happening. Whole one Upanishad is centered around the sushupti state. So from that sushupti, you have to know that I am able to live happily without any disturbances in this, when I am in, without this body, without this mind, without my so-called intelligence. All these realizations comes from that. So, Krishna says here that such a person, when he has come, what we have spoken about so far today, if all these things have come and practiced and realized in life, such a person is qualified to hear Upanishad. That is the qualification. A person who has come to this state, that there is no happiness in this world, there is no happiness in the heavenly planets either. Everything is temporary here, everything is temporary there as well. In other words, one who is not looking for any kind of happiness from this world or from the spirit or the heavenly planets, he is the person ready for hearing Upanishads. This is the qualification talked about Upanishad. If you look into the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement, it is the fourth canto, 29th chapter, verse 46.
യഥാസനുഗൃഹാതി ഭഗവാൻ ആത്മഭാവിതാ സ ജഹാദിമതിം ലോകേ വേദേജ പരിനിഷ്ഠിതം.
സേസ് ഹിയർ ഇസ് എൻ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ഇൻ ദി ദിസ് ഈസ് അഗെയിൻ ദി ടോക്സ് ബിറ്റ്വീൻ ശ്രീനാരദ മഹർഷി ആൻഡ് പ്രാചീന ബർഹിസ്. പ്രാചീന ബർഹിസ് വാസ് എ personality who are very absorbed in the Karmakandam section of the Vedas, if you remember Bhagavatam.
Yadaya sanugrihnadi bhagavan atmabhavida sa jahadimadim loge vedeja parinishthidam.
It says here, I'll read the translation. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. That means he is free from Karmakandam. He has come out of the Karmakandam and he is also free from karma. He is free from Karmakandam and he is free from karma. Only in that state the Upanishad's knowledge will help. Otherwise not. You see, this is the difficulty. Why? Because as long as we have some attraction in this world for something, then Upanishads can't help you very much. Because Upanishads' realization is like this, that leave this body, forget about this bodily existence. Once for all, try to realize the truth, what the self is. Now here, Krishna is, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to Prachina Barhis, that at such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities. In other words, karma is finished for him. And ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas, which means Karmakandam is also over. So it is after karmam is over, Karmakandam is over, and then he is ready for Upanishads. That's where he is ready for Upanishads. So, and this will happen, Bhagavan Atma Bhavida, when it is favored by Krishna. Fully engaged, he is favored by the Lord who bestows his causeless mercy. So, sajahadi madim loge yogeja parinishthidam. He says here, sajahadi vedeja parinishthidam. So, one who is blessed by Krishna, or what does this blessing mean? Now, this is another interesting thing. We talk about blessing, isn't it? Here, Krishna, Narada Maharshi is saying, sajahadi madim loge vedeja parinishthidam. That means one who is Bhagavan Atma Bhavida, one who is blessed by Krishna. Normally, in our life, when we have a lot of material desires in us. So when Krishna fulfills all that material desires, we sing, Krishna has blessed me. They say like that, isn't it? We say, Krishna has blessed me. Krishna has blessed me, has given me all what I want in my life. People talk like this. Have you heard that? People saying like that? They'll say, Krishna has been so kind to me. He has given me so much money and he has given me all a good family life. All my family members are all settled, well settled. They're all very happy, all this kind of thing. Why? Because Krishna is very pleased with me, he says. That's why all these things have happened. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying, if all these things happen, take it that he is not pleased with you. It's just the opposite thing. What we think as Krishna is. We say Krishna is pleased with us. Sukadeva Goswami says, he's completely upset with you. That's why he's given you all these things. That's the point. Krishna, he says here, that the Sukadeva Goswami's words here. He says, Bhagavan Atma Bhavida. What will happen? When is Krishna pleased with you? When he gets you fed up with this world, all what's happening in this world, when you get fed up with even in the Karmagandam, then Krishna is pleased with you. That is Sukadeva Goswami's conclusion. It's not my conclusion, it's Sukadeva Goswami's conclusion. He's saying this here. So you can see the difference where it is. We are reading Sukadeva Goswami's books and we are making our own conclusions in our own way. This is what's happening. This is why what's wrong in the Bhagavatam when we study Bhagavatam. This is the problem. People study Srimad Bhagavatam thinking that after doing studying all Bhagavatam, my material life will be in a, it'll fly very high. That's the goal behind it, isn't it? So all everybody's family life is going very well, plenty of money coming in, and a good position in the society. Everybody is respecting me. I'm so and so. I'm somebody, as he says, isn't it? I'm somebody in this world. All these foolish ideas gets in, and that is exactly what we think is Krishna's blessing here. We take it very seriously. Many, many people take like that. Krishna has blessed me with all these things. What can I do? I must have done something to please him. They'll say like that. Isn't it? And when all these things are going very well, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, you can take it that Krishna is not happy with you. That's why he has given you all these things to keep you occupied with all these things. So that he won't look in the right direction. Where realization, self-realization will never happen to such a person. It's not possible. It's not possible. So therefore he says here that sajahadi madim loke vedeja parinishtidam. He loses his interest in this world, first thing. Secondly, he loses interest even in the karmakandam of the Vedas. Because karmakandam was meant for this, for the happiness of this world. Both goes away from him. That person is ready for hearing Upanishads. That person is ready for hearing Upanishads. So you can see, it's a lot of demand from Upanishads are demanding a certain state of mind in us where you can accept these things in the proper way. Otherwise it will not work. That's what the Upanishads' conclusions are. So one who has not blessed, one who is blessed by Krishna, that is what will happen. One who is blessed by Krishna. First thing what will happen is he will lose his interest in this world. Attachment to all the work in this world. Karmam in this world. He will lose that. And then he will lose the interest in the Vedic karmam also. Vaidya karmam. Vaidya karma means all these kind of things like the Karmagandam section of the Vedas. So nowadays what happens is if you tell people, oh, I have no interest in the Vaidya karmam, they will say. Oh, that's all just rituals. I don't care. All they are useless, they'll say. Oh, I'm very transcendental, I'm very philosophical. But he will have no interest in Vaidya karma, but he is very attached to his material karma. That he wants, because that's where money is. So goes in that direction. So it's a funny world what we live in that sense, from the Vedic point of view. Anyway, he will reject all these things. But you have to remember why these rituals were created. You should not completely write off these rituals, thinking that they are all useless. They were not created for that purpose. They were created for another reason, isn't it? So why they were created? Let me explain that. If you have all these rituals in its place, at least at that time you won't go and do some vikarmam somewhere else. Normally our nature is, if you are not controlled, it is like a bull, uncontrolled bull, ready to go and do all sorts of nonsense. So therefore, they created this nishta. This is called nishta. For example, getting up early in the morning, engaging in a certain disciplined life, chanting the holy name, or studying Srimad Bhagavatam, studying Shastram, and some control on eating habits, like you only eat certain things, and prepared in a particular way, and offer to the deity, like that. This is all nishta. These things on its own is not going to take you back to the spiritual world. That's not going to happen. They are there only to bring some discipline in life. Why is it necessary? Because if you don't do this,
your desire or motivated action. Motivated action means that everything in this world, you want a return when you do things, isn't it? Without benefit, you don't want to do anything. Everyone is looking for what is known as motivated action. So in order to take us out of that motivated action and to keep us disciplined in some way, all these regulations have been brought in life. And that is what it is. All this Agnihotram, what Brahmanas perform, Vaishudevam, and things like that. It's all meant for that, so that they have no time to think about anything else in life, except these rituals they have to perform. They are all rituals, but they are necessary. They cannot be written away. Suppose if we have no discipline at all in life, what will happen? We'll stay late in the night, watch all the teleprograms, go to the clubs, bars, pubs everywhere, try to enjoy life there, isn't it? And come home late in the morning, early hours in the morning, sleep till midnight, or middle of the day, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. There's no control anywhere. So when you have a certain control like this, what happens? At least we are able to get you out of the pubs, out of the clubs, out of the nightclubs, and stay at home and live in a peaceful way with family. At least that is possible. Even if you're not gone back home, back to Godhead, at least by bringing all this control, discipline in life, you are not derailed completely from the track. From the track. That is why. And what else? If this discipline was not there, your desire for engaging in motivated action will increase. That means selfishness will develop considerably inside. Not willing to give anything to others. Always for me, 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 me will become the whole goal behind it. Everything will become centered around me. The selfishness will increase. A person who has developed that nature, it's very difficult for him to understand Upanishads. That is a problem. Upanishads, you see, when we are centered around ourselves, centered around ourselves means what? Our false ego, isn't it? That is us. At the moment, it's a false ego what we are operating in this world. So centered around false ego, if we function all the time, what will happen is, this will become the false ego will increase and there will be no sacrifice for anything else. So if this motivated mentality, this action for me, me, me is there, no matter how many years you attend all the Vedanta classes, it will not work. It will not work. That is why I was saying last time also that before you start spiritual life, get your karmam right. Without karma, nothing is going to change. Therefore, so many options. Krishna starts with Karma Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita to tell us, to get us out of this motivated action. Motivated action. So long as this motivation. So, okay, let us look at it this way. So, normally that selfishness develops in everyone very easily. The selfishness develops. All looks for one's own happiness in this world. So that is why, that is such karmam, whatever actions we perform with a selfish interest, it's called swartha karma. Swartha karma means one's own selfish interest. In order to get us out of the swartha karma, what is known as vihita karma is given. Vihita karma means all these things, that you get up in the morning, chant the holy name, and puja, deity worship, meditation, dhyanam, studying Bhagavatam, these are all vihita karma, prescribed duties. It's called prescribed duty. If you perform vihita karma, you will not have such an intense desire for swartha karma. Swartham will go little by little because through the purification of the vihita karma. Vihita karma is meant for purification. Swartha karma will entangle you more and more in this world. So in order to take us out of this swartha karma and bring us into this vihita karma, the sages have found a method by which they can keep us in certain disciplined lifestyle. And that's why all this was introduced. So, not that because if I got up at 2 o'clock every morning whole life, I'll go back home back to Godhead. It's not guaranteed. Nowhere it's guaranteed like that. Not that if I bathe every morning at 3 o'clock in the cold water, I'll go back home back to Godhead. No, it's not guaranteed. Not that if I have done deity worship every day throughout life, some people get stuck in that also. Throughout life, they'll see that, oh, I worshipped all these things. And at the old age, when they get very sick, they start thinking, I worshipped the deity all my life. Why this has happened to me? They'll say like that. If they start saying like that, then the whole deity worship has not helped very much, isn't it? They take a negative attitude at that time. Opposite way, they start thinking. Same thing, even with the devotees, they say, we have chanted the holy name for so many years, what has happened now? Some disaster comes in life, everything gets upset then. They get completely lost there at that time. So what I'm saying is that all these things what we are doing in itself is not what realizes the self. Self-realization won't happen from all these things. They are there to keep us first in the disciplined life in this world. Unless there is discipline in life, it's not possible to make any progress on the spiritual path. So to get us to that state, sages have told us, live in particular way and follow these rules. At least at that time, you won't go and do some other nonsense. Whereas otherwise what will happen, early morning you'll switch on the telly and then whole day you'll watch the telly program, go here, go there, enjoy here, enjoy there. This way the mind will drive you everywhere and make money just to enjoy for this purpose. This mood will develop. So that's the reason. So then when you start engaging in this nishtha, nishtha means all these activities, first you start feeling bored with it, isn't it? This is, what am I doing? This, I'm not getting anything out of it. Whereas if I work there, I get 40 pounds an hour or 60 pounds an hour. Whereas these 2 hours chanting, what did I gain from that? And these thoughts will come. This is also quite natural. People are not that simple. If you may be thinking that they're all pure, ready to go back and back. Nobody's ready to go back and back to Godhead. That's all in our head. Somebody has misled us like that. Nobody is ready for that. We will still be, if somebody offers me 40 pounds, I'll say I'll chant in the night. Tomorrow. Morning, I'm not ready to chant. That's why chanting in the night started. Although Shastram doesn't say you chant in the night, you chant in the morning, they say. But they'll say, no, I can't afford to lose this. It was so tempting that you'll go for this first. So this is the problem in spiritual life. So you see, so you get bored with it because after all chanting is not, it's not such a pleasurable thing, is it? I mean, nobody is enjoying it. We are doing it because it has been told to do it, so we are doing it. That's all. So it's a boring thing. So the mind will go after something which it enjoys. Yeah? And nishtha, everything related to nishtha is boring to me. So I have no attraction for that. Attraction is all in the money and enjoyment, not in the discipline what Krishna has given to us. These are the details, understanding of these things. Yeah. So both things the mind is involved in. For example, in the time when you are practicing your sadhana or your disciplined life, as well as in your other activities, mind is involved in both cases, isn't it? Mind is absorbed in the chanting, mind is absorbed in the sense gratification also, while working or earning money or anything. But mind prefers this one, not the other one. Which one? The sense gratification, earning money and things like that. So, both are done by the mind. Just like when, sometimes you can see, some people when they watch a movie on the television, they'll be so focused. When you see that, you start thinking, if they had the same power of attention while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam like this, all going sleeping, tired, eyes closing, everything. You put them in front of a latest EastEnders or a Coronation Street, they'll sit there and watch without any problem. Why is it like that? Why is it? What is the reason behind it? Why? He has got all these vasanas inside and these vasanas are fulfilled by that program there. What is going on inside? That is the reason behind it. The food for this vasana is in that television screen for him. So he is happy. Whereas chanting Hare Krishna, who gets? What do you get out of it? At the end you are only frustrated. 2 hours gone anyway. What can I do? It's gone. That's how you are getting up and putting the beats back and walking out from there. This is the taste. What can you do? So mind is in both sides, either when you are bored with the spiritual life or when you are enjoying your material life, in both places the mind is there. And the mind will always prefer according to the vasanas what you have inside. That is the fact. Reality is like that. So the food for those vasana is in the television. So I'll go for it at that moment. So why is he not getting interested in the spiritual activities? This question we have to ask, isn't it? Reason is this.
we have a thing called ragam and dvesham, isn't it? Attachment and aversion. All material activities, there is ragam dvesham. For example, when cinema or one film is showing in the film, you're watching the film, and there somebody who is the leading actor, and he is your hero. You have some attachment for him inside in a very subtle level. Whatever he is doing, you will go along with it because you are attached to him. Ragam is there already. And suppose you have a hate towards someone, a villain in the movie, and whatever he does, you will go against him. Whatever he does, he is wrong. Anything what he does, it's wrong. So you can see whether it is in the movies, whether it is in football, whether anywhere in any of these things, raga dvesham is there in a person, isn't it? Attachment and aversion. Attachment to someone, aversion to somebody else. And when we were children, in Hindi films, Devanand was always hero, and Prem Chopra was always the baddie. And everywhere he is the villain, and you don't like him. And he sees billboards, big billboards, you know, Hindi movies, billboards, and he says, yeah, you don't like him. You won't want to look at Devanand or somebody like that, Raj Kapoor or someone like that. You look at him. You won't look at the other one. Why? Already inside, you formed an opinion that that person is bad and this person is good. That is attachment and aversion to that thing. So as long as there is attachment and aversion, mind likes it. Mind likes it. When you chant the holy name, there is neither attachment nor aversion. Isn't it? There is no attachment, no doubt. There is no clear thing. But aversion is concerned. It has not come to that state also, because you don't have aversion towards Krishna. You have some understanding, Krishna is there, I have to chant the holy name. That much you have. But there is no strong aversion. So that is why mind is resisting at that time, because there is no attachment aversion. Whereas if there is ragam, if there is dvesham, attachment and aversion, mind will go in that direction very easily, very easily. Because if there is attachment, there is interest. And if there is aversion, there will be strong feelings inside, burning feelings inside. If both are not there, you'll get bored. So that is the interesting side, that if both, either attachment or aversion is there, you will get bored. That is why all these spiritual activities are boring. It is because of that. That's why chanting is boring, Srimad Bhagavatam is boring, deity worship is boring, and sitting in Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam is boring, everything is boring. Why? Because this attachment aversion is not there in that. So, similarly, the same way, all the rituals also are boring, because there's nothing there. We will say all sorts of things. We'll go and sit in front of a fire sacrifice and all that. But more, we'll be thinking about the feast after the fire sacrifice rather than the fire sacrifice. So the sages are telling us, those sages who knew this very psychology of this nature of a human society, they have said to us that you get bored first a little bit in life. Get bored first. If you keep on getting bored, after time what will happen is, that means you perform such activities where your mind has no interest in such activities. You do that. If you do that, it will come to a certain level of balance will happen inside. What is that balance? He says here that you will quietly come out of the control of the mind. You will exit from the control of the mind. Normally everybody is absorbed in the mind. You have to know that. And it is the mind that is dictating to them, do this, don't do this. Where there is happiness and enjoyment, they will drive you to that direction. Mind will drive you. So the sages, knowing this very well, they are telling us that you do some activities in a day, every day, every single day, in such a way that you get bored with it. If you keep on doing this for a considerable period of time, what will happen is, he says here, that from that world of mind, Manomandalam, it is called, from Manomandalam, you will come, start experiencing, blossoming a different kinds of happiness coming from that. A different kind of happiness. Only thing what happens is, we don't allow that happiness to experience on a daily basis. Because the other side is too strong. Which one? Ragadvesham. That is too strong. So, you practice it for some time. Every devotee will agree with you on this point.
when you are chanting in your early years regularly for some period of time, 3 months, 6 months, you will experience a certain happiness from that. Why? You come out of the control of the mind. That's why you have experienced that happiness in the early days. But then what happened was, in course of time, you were pulled by the power of the mind. Mind is constantly, you're fighting against it, is telling you that there is no happiness in this. There is more happiness in the other things, in other things in this world. And that's why immediately we start moving in a different direction. And then you start thinking, well, we can keep it for the old age or something later. So this will happen. So, so knowing this very well, so actually we have to remember, we are all just toys in the hands of the mind. If we recognize that, then there is no problem. We are just toys in the hands of the mind. Mind is playing with us all the time and nobody knows what this mind is. This is the most difficult thing. Anirvachaniyam, it says there. Now, Tathubodham, there is a book, Tathubodham. In that says there, Sangalpam Vigalpam Mana Nishayalmiya Buddhi. It says there, Manasa is nothing but Sangalpam Vigalpam. That's what. And from Chitshakti inside, you know that we have what is known as Satya, Chitta, Anandam. Isn't it? The three things inside. That is the soul. Soul is made of these three. Satya, Chitta, Anandam. Which means eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. Eternity is the Sat. Full of knowledge is the Chit. And full of bliss is Anandam. The three things what we... Sachidanandam, Sachidanandam, we keep saying about the soul. Isn't it? Sachidanandam. So out of these three things, this power... Power of the mind is comes from the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti means that full of knowledge, that Shakti, which is called Chit Shakti, Chitta. From Chit Shakti, this the thing what cannot be defined called mind comes out from that. Mind comes from that. And it is that mind that's playing with us whole life. In the whole life we are played with this. So Vedic injunction is that. Vedic injunction is like this, that first get this mind in a controlled state, otherwise it's not possible. Instead of dancing to the mind, dance according to the Vedas. That's it, game. At the moment we are dancing according to the mind, isn't it? According to the tune of the mind. But instead, the moment we learn how to not to dance to the mind, and we learn how to dance to the tune of the Vedic injunctions, then we have come out of the control of the mind. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life is that. See, in spiritual life, you are not getting anything from outside. All you are doing is your own unit, body, mind, intelligence, bring them under control, and then you see that eventually what the truth is, not I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm something different than all this. Realization happens. Why? Because the soul which is inside, all these things are centered around the soul. It is not something going to come from outside. Self-realization, it's called knowing yourself what you are. That's more important. And that is for this reason only. So when you start doing this, it will start making some sense to you. When you start experiencing this bliss that's coming from this vihita karma, controlled activities, you'll start experiencing certain bliss. And it is that time that it will start making some sense to you. At some point in life later on, you will start appreciating that it is good that I lived a life like that, in a controlled way, in a disciplined way, practiced spiritual life properly. Even if you are not gone back and back to Godhead, at least you will see the benefit of that at that stage. Why? You will be more peaceful inside. Whereas a person who is completely absorbed in sense gratification throughout life, without any control, his life will be disaster at the end, because he will find it very difficult. All he has enjoyed was senses. And as soon as sense enjoyment stops, you find difficult life also. It's for this reason it said that it will start make sense to you at an older age when vihita karmam also makes sense in some form or the other. So, but in certain cases, what happens is some people have gone too far in the direction of the sense enjoyment, addicted to it in such a level, they require some de-addiction from that. And that is where you have to put them in somewhere with somebody else and force them to follow these things in a rigorously. There is no other way. Any kind of instructions won't help for them because they have gone too far in the wrong direction. It's difficult to get them under control. That is why it is necessary also to have places where they can be put into. and where they can be trained up and they can be brought into some discipline. Otherwise, what will happen is, I'll give you some examples how it happens. It's very interesting. Sometimes, you know, like these institutions like Alcoholic Anonymous and all that, AA, those who are gone too far in the direction, who cannot control anymore, they have to be put into these institutions. They train them up in such a way, constantly talked about the ill effect of alcohol, and they are forbidden from doing so many things in this world, only for one reason, that they cannot be preached to anymore. You can't speak to them anymore. That stage is gone. They've gone too far in that direction. Once it so happened, they were teaching some people who were addicted to alcohol. So what they did, they kept a pot of water and they put a worm in the water. So the worm somehow managed to swim through from the water, get onto the side of the pot where the water was, and it managed to climb over and escape from the water, right? Then they kept a pot of alcohol, very strong alcohol, and they put a worm in that. The worm got burned. Worm got burned because of the power of that alcohol. Certain alcohols are very burning power they have. It will burn your whole body like that. So the person who was teaching them, they asked these students who were there, what have you understood from this? He says, we understood that if you take alcohol, it will burn all the worms inside the stomach. They learned that, understood that. Now, if you understand Shastram like that, the way they have understood, what will happen? You will do all these kind of things, isn't it? So this is how misunderstanding happens. You see how they misunderstood? They misunderstood. They thought that if you take alcohol regular basis, like the doctors are telling us sometimes, that you take one peg or one unit, whatever that is, if you take it regularly, it's good for you, they say, because it'll burn all the worms inside and clean up the whole place, isn't it? So all these kind of ideas are coming like this, and we have been told it's good for the health, it's good for that and all. So those people, they also took it that way. They say, if you take every day, it'll burn all the worms inside the stomach. So this misunderstanding won't go if you preach to him. The only thing you can do to such people is get them all together, put them in a building, and keep a control, prevent them from getting addicted to it further. And constantly talk to them about the ill effects of all these things. That's the only way you can reform them. Otherwise, it's not possible. If you just tell them, look, here's a book, you read this, Self-Realization, they'll take it home. You think they'll read that? They'll just take it home, put it there somewhere else, and they'll never touch it. It's very difficult for people to come out of it unless one has gone too far. Because this knowledge, spiritual knowledge, the difficulty is like this. When you're so absorbed in sense gratification, it won't get in. That's the problem. So therefore, these restrictions, So first thing, to come out of sense gratification. Secondly, to come out of this selfish actions, motivated actions, isn't it? Very difficult to come out of selfish actions. So much we think that everything is ours, for my enjoyment. So therefore, the first verse in the Ishopanishad begins with that. For this reason only, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Everything is Krishna's, not ours. Why? Because we are thinking it is ours, isn't it? That is very strong in our, embedded in our mind. As it is mine, that is yours, and that is Krishna's. That's how we are saying. Ishopanishad is telling us, it's not that only Krishna's, it's Krishna's everything. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. So that verse we have to study in depth. Only then you will see the great thoughts behind it, what the sages have put through that verse to us. That if we accept these things, what the sages are telling us, that means to come out of that motivated action first, knowing very well that it is Krishna's everything, and to accept that, and in order to do that, karmam has to be sorted first. So if you do that, bring them under control, then what will happen is that these people who are addicted to such an extent, you have to get them out of that track, And it is in order to do that, Karmakandam was brought in the Vedas. Vedas, Karmakandam is only for that purpose. So the problems inside that person, by bringing him in a nishta, in a steady state, it is possible to control him. If you look into 11th canto, in the 3rd chapter, 44th verse, it talks about this. Karma mokshaya karmani vidatte magadam yatha. It says, karmam is meant for getting out of karmam. You see? Karma mokshaya karmani vidatte agadam yatha. He says, karmam is a disease. It's a rogam. It's a disease actually in us. But we glorify it and make it worse by glorifying it. That's why we have not escaped from the clutches of karma, from the control of karma. Karmaya karma mokshani agatte vigatte adatham yatha. Says vidatte agatham yatha. So, the reason why Vedas have given this medicine of karmakandam is karma has become a disease for him. So, little by little, in order to bring him out of the disease and cure him, they have given this what is known as vihita karma. Vihita karma means all this morning program is vihita karma for that purpose. So if you do like that, what will happen is eventually that taste for karma will slowly disappear. Why? Because you have become a little bit more thoughtful in your life. That is their goal, something beyond that. One who is very addicted to karma, you can observe in their life. Whole time their mind is centered around only work and money and work and the stresses related with the work position and all their obligations towards the board members or whatever, the government or whatever, the employees. And they'll say, oh, I worked so hard all my life to keep the business going or whatever. This is not a very healthy situation. This is a very dangerous situation in life. Why? He's so addicted to karma that he will never be able to understand what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So, if we accept karma is a disease, we should understand this. This is an important point. Karma is a disease in us. And that disease has to be cured first. And therefore, Karma Gandam and Karma Yogam was all spoken in the beginning. Can you imagine if all these great sages, instead of going to the forest, they have gone to the factory? Do you think we would have got Upanishads from them? They would have given us some workshop manuals, isn't it? Like we get from all the... No, higher thoughts is not possible when you are absorbed in karma, especially heavy karma. The more we withdraw from karma, the peace will come inside, self-realization will happen a lot quicker, much easier than that. Because it's the whole thing is centered around the soul. And our identity, a karmi, what we call a karmi, isn't it? A karmi by nature, he thinks he is this body, isn't it? Not only he thinks this is his body, in order to fulfill the bodily needs, he is working very, very hard. And that person is not advanced in knowledge. Whereas a person who is advanced in knowledge, he is peaceful within himself. Whatever situation he is put in, he can see from a deeper level what life is all about. That is his great qualification. He is not disturbed under any circumstances. He is peaceful within himself. Why is that? Because he knows that he is not the body and he is something different than the body. Body is something which is not our swarupam. It is not our identity, this body. Body is something like the tree is standing there. It's standing on us at the moment. This body is standing like this. And this body has to go one day. And all these realizations won't happen as long as we are absorbed in karma. Karma is not favorable. That is why it says, karmaya karma mokshani vidatte agatham yatha. It is in the Navayogi's conversation with Nimi. Karma, one has to free oneself. That should be the goal. If you keep on increasing karma, what will happen? We'll get more and more entangled with that and more in trouble after that. And it'll be very difficult to break away from that. But keeping this perspective inside, a realized state also people perform karma. But the inside realization is so strong, it won't disturb him, the karma in this world. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about. So we'll discuss it next Saturday. continue with Ishavanishad. There's a lot more to talk about. Ishavanishad is not a simple subject as we think. A few 18 verses. That 18 verses has got 18 million thoughts behind it. The sages have given us that perception of the verses in that way. So tomorrow we'll have the Bhagavatam class at Instamo. And we'll have a Kirtan and then. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.